Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Now let's pray as we begin the message today. God, I'm grateful for this moment, even as we get to hear your Word. I pray, will you speak to us? Because your Word is life. Your Word is real. It is just not words on the paper. It is your very, very, very words, which are equal to your actions. And I pray that may the preaching of your word today bring life. May the preaching of your word today bring challenge to our hearts. May there be learning. May there be transformation. And I pray the next couple of minutes will be very critical for us today, because there's something that you want each one of us to learn. And I pray, anoint your servant in Jesus' name, I do pray. And everybody say it, amen. 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 Today, I have this nice shirt. Just to let you know, you can find yourself a shirt like this, bold, strong, courageous, to tell everybody in Kampala that you are bold, you are strong, you are courageous. No, to tell everybody that this is our theme this year. Just in case you're here for the first time, every year we have a theme that really directs our ministry emphasis every year. This year is from Joshua chapter 1, and where God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, even as they were going to inherit the promised land. And this year, God is calling us to be people of bold vision. And as you saw earlier, our young people, they were asking you to invite people to church, because this year would love to grow by about 8,000 new people becoming members of this church. You know why? That is a very small number compared to unreached people in this city, in this nation. And so you are part of this bold vision. We are going to reach more people than ever before. Also this year, we want to plant two locations, two new churches. Can we celebrate that? You know? Now, I'm not saying that because we as leaders, we have everything figured out. No, we have vision figured out. But other areas, we are seeing giants. But in the name of Jesus, at the end of this year, we're going to have two new locations. We are going to be 19 locations. Come on, somebody. Let's praise the Lord. Now, it's not about the number. It's about the people who are in those campuses that matter the most. And you are part of this amazing story. So that's a bold vision for this year. We want to make sure that 20,000 people are in the small groups, because life is better together. 20,000 of that. That's 50% of the 40,000. So if you're not in a small group, please make sure we begin to grow, okay? Beginning this week. On Wednesday, find a small group and let's be a part of what God is doing. Now today, we are going to be in Joshua chapter 4. Now open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. And last week we were in chapter 4, but there is another aspect that I would like us to look at today, even as we see what God has in store for us. Now last week, we saw the nation crossed the Jordan. God performed a miracle where he divided the Jordan and the nation of Israel crossed on dry ground. An amazing miracle. But while after crossing, when the priests were still in the middle of that river, God instructed Joshua to get 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes, to go back and pick each a stone. Now I think you know why I have a stone today. Because this was stone number 13, all right? I'm the 13th tribe, all right? No, I'm kidding. But you know what I'm talking about. Each one of them to go and pick a stone, and they were to build a memorial to God because of what God had done in parting the River Jordan. And so today, we are going to learn from the 12 stones. There are lessons to learn from those 12 stones, and I believe they're so applicable for us today. Now, I'm reading from Joshua chapter 4, and that is verse 1 to 7. Then I'm going to skip a little bit to 20 to 24. Let's go. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at a place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. Now that is very critical for today. To serve as a sign among you. Can we say it together? 1, 2, 3. To serve as a sign among you. The stones were to be a sign among them, as we shall see later. In the future, sign number one right there, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the floor of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. The stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. In other words, when you look at these stones in the future, they are to remind you, you should be reminded of what God did, that miracle of parting the Jordan, because that was a great miracle, fulfilling God's promise to Abraham that indeed his seed would inherit the land of Canaan. Now verse 20. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, now these are grandchildren, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth, including right here at Watoto, in Kampala, Uganda, or wherever you are around the world, he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And so that you might always revere, worship, fear the Lord your God. What an amazing portion of scripture. Now, just to let us know, the concept of memorials or remembrance is a recurring theme in the Bible from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. God often commanded his children to create physical markers or observe rituals or practice traditions to help them remember God's faithfulness, his provision, and his covenant. And so through the Bible, we see God commanding his people to observe certain days and festivals. Why? To remember God's work in the past so they can have faith for their day, but also faith for the future. Very important. I'll give you a few examples. One of the feasts God commanded the Israelites to observe was the Feast of Passover, or we call it the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And all these are found in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Go and read that. And this was to remind them about their deliverance from Egypt, from slavery into freedom. So every year they were asked, remember, celebrate this day, because it's important. The second feast, we call it Pentecost, but not the day of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church. This was the feast of the first fruits, where they were bringing the first fruits to God, celebrating God's provision to them. The other feast was the Feast of Tabernacles, where they were to remember the 40 years they wandered in the desert. In those 40 years, God miraculously protected them. He provided for them. And he was true to his word during that season. So he told them, remember this day. Celebrate these feasts. In fact, all the Israelites would leave every nation and they would go to Jerusalem once a year to celebrate these feasts as a memorial to what God had done, so they don't forget the works of God in the past, but also to keep them grounded in God in the present. In the New Testament, we have many others. I'm just going to highlight two of them. One is communion. And every first Sunday of the month, every first weekend, we as Watoto here, we break bread and take the cup And this is one of the memorials. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And when we do that, we are remembering Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and he's coming back, and he's coming back very soon. So every time we gather and we break bread, it is something very meaningful. We are remembering why Jesus died. But we also have hope in the future that what you see today is not the final thing. God is going to come and make all these rotten, broken things new again. He gives us hope for the future. The other feast or the other ordinance that God commands us to remember and practice is water baptism, where we identify with Christ's death and resurrection. Just as he died and was buried, we, when we go under the water, we are saying also, we, our old self has died and has been buried. And as he rose from the dead, we come out of the water saying, we are now born again. We are new. And so every time we celebrate these things, they're not just rituals. There is something so powerful and meaningful about these rituals, if I can call them that. So let's come back to our story of the 12 sons. So I have three key lessons that I want to take home today. But why did God command Joshua? Again, I said the stones were a sign. And he said a sign, number one, to them as the Israelites. When they looked at the 12 stones, they were reminded about God's faithfulness, about the miracles of God. But also when their children, the second sign is this, you are a sign to the next generation. When the children look at those stones and they ask, what do these stones mean? They were supposed to tell the story of how God parted the Jordan. But also this pile of stones was a sign to all the nations. They were to remind all the nations that there is a God that is supreme and is above every other god of the nations. And he is the true savior of the world. So first purpose of these 12 stones. Number one, God told them in Joshua 4:7, these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. In other words, God was saying, never forget the miracle at the Jordan, to remind them about that miracle. You see, friends, memory shapes faith. Memory shapes faith. And God understands and knew this very well that we easily forget. And so, to make sure that we remember his works, he institutes certain rituals for us to always practice. So we never forget the works of God in the past. Because when we forget what God has done, what happens, we drift, our faith drifts. We weaken in our faith, and especially in difficulty. Whenever we go through difficulty, we begin to question if God is real. But if we remember that that same God that performed a miracle in our past is real, we are able to have faith for him in our situation today. Amen. He knew that we will forget. In fact, he told the Israelites, do not forget. Many times in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, he said this, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Don't forget. And to help them not to forget, he told them, celebrate these festivals. Keep these stones so you always remember that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I saved yesterday, I can save today. If I healed yesterday, I can heal today. If I provided yesterday, I can provide today. So you are anchored. Memorials are anchors. They're spiritual anchors. They ground us in God so our faith does not drift. So when we neglect practicing biblical memorials and all we think they're just, you know, meaningless, what happens? Our faith becomes abstract. It's disconnected from the true acts of God in history and today. And that is why These rituals, these celebrations are so meaningful because there's a powerful story behind these rituals. You know, I'm going to just give you one. Communion, for example. As I said earlier, communion is a celebration of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, when we don't do this, what happens? We actually will forget how meaningful the death of Christ is for us. When we stop celebrating communion, what happens is we don't even think our sins are very serious, because every time we gather around the Lord's table and we eat that bread, which represents the body of Christ, and the juice, which is the blood of Jesus, we reflect on the reason why Jesus died. He didn't die because he was guilty. He died because I was guilty. You were guilty. He took upon himself your sins. And so it reminds us that our sins are so serious, that the wages of sin is death, and that we have a God who's gracious, who's merciful, who loved us so much that instead of punishing us, Jesus paid the penalty of our sins, and then I get to appreciate my salvation once again. That is the power of meaningfully participating in these biblical memorials. So, he doesn't want us to forget. So what's the lesson that we learn from this? Memorials matter because they help ground us in God's past and his ongoing redemption story. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and we are grounded. So the works that he did in the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are not far, they are connected to our story today. So we are grounded, so we don't drift in our faith. Now the second thing that God told Joshua is this. In Joshua 4, 21 and 22, he said this. When your children ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. They were meant to teach the future generation about the works of God in the past. Memorials spark curiosity. Curiosity leads to questions. Questions lead to stories. And stories lead to faith and understanding. Because there's a generation that experienced the crossing of the Jordan, but there are other generations that were not there. So these memorials were meant to spark curiosity. When they asked, why do you have that pile of stones there? Then they would tell the story of the mighty acts of God, so the next generation would trust in their God as well. Memorials actually spark curiosity. And that's how God designed us. He wants us faith to be transferred to the next generation. God designed memorials as tools for intergenerational faith transmission. In other words, you are required to transfer your faith or the faith you have in God to the next generation. And memorials are tools to help us to do that. Psalm 145 says this, one generation commends your works to another. How? By telling the stories of what God did in your generation. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. I will proclaim your great deeds. They give us an opportunity to share our faith or the work of God with the next generation. About maybe 14 years ago, 13 years ago, it's going to be 14 years this year. No, 13 years this year. We began giving through my Miracle Missions offering, a very sacrificial, extravagant offering for the purposes of advancing God's kingdom. And God has amazed us. Last year, we had a goal of $1.5 million. And guess what? By December, you had faithfully given that. Can you praise God so much for that? That's amazing. Amazing. Now, my youngest son is 12. And that means when we began this culture, he had just been born. And so a few years later, we wanted them to participate in this. And we made this a ritual in our family. And so what we do the day before my miracle, the day of my miracle missions offering, or the day before, I withdraw lots of shillings from the bank. So I come with my family, we sit at the table, and then we begin to talk about how we are going to give sacrificially. So I would put this money on the table. And the reason was this: I wanted them to see that their father is going to give a lot of money to God. Very good, eh? No, I wanted to spark their curiosity. And in fact, one of them asked, "But Daddy, why are you giving a lot of money to church?" This is why. You see, indeed, this is a lot of money. But let me tell you, there's a time in my life when I was an orphaned little boy, I never even dreamt that I would even own this amount of money to begin with. God, by His grace, lifted me up from poverty and being an orphan, and God has blessed me to where I am today. Who I am today is not because of anything I've done. Who I am today is because of the grace of God. God has blessed me, and I want us to be a blessing to the church and the people we're reaching. It became a tradition. They know why. It's not about the money. It's about the why behind the money. What has God done for you? What are those amazing works that God has done for you? I have many stories. Some of them I have scars on my feet, on my legs, that I also used to tell stories. One of our pastors, Pastor Peter at Bugolobi, went through a very traumatizing season in his life when they're having their second child. Their child came very early at 7 months. And when they went for the first check because, you know, things were going wrong, the doctors told them that their baby was dead. But they didn't believe that. They went to another hospital. And when they go to this hospital, actually they managed to give birth to this little boy. He fit on my palm because that day I was there and I saw him. And we prayed to God, if you are true, you are real, save this little boy. And God did it. Today, he is a 12-year-old boy. A singer leads worship in Children's Church at Watoto Church Bugolobi. But before 12 years at Bugolobi, they took pictures of baby Kiron when he was born. They framed them, and they are in their sitting room. Why? For them to remember that there is a God who answers prayer. Never to forget the works of God. Secondly, when the kids ask, "Who is that?" "This was you." "What? God did it?" So they too can trust there's a God who heals, who hears prayer. When you visit them and you look at those pictures, you are going to ask, "What happened?" And they're able to tell you, there's a God in heaven who is able to create life out of death. Come on, somebody, let's praise God so much for that. That's amazing. In the same way, what has God done for you? Find a way of preserving that memory. It could be a testimony you're going to put on video. The Bible says they overcame by the word of their testimony. Your testimony is powerful. It inspires faith. This is all about inspiring faith in the next generation and all who hear your testimony. So don't be ashamed of what God has done. Create a ritual, create a memory, create something that is going to inspire people when they look at what God has done in your life. Come on, say amen to that. That's amazing. So lesson number two, what we learn from this, that memorials actually inspire faith in the next generation. They do that. And then thirdly, and lastly, the 12 stones were meant to proclaim God's power and His sovereignty to all nations. When you see in the Old Testament, the Bible saying all nations, in the Bible, nations, it means Gentiles, including all of us in this place, right? To proclaim God's power to all of us. Joshua 4:24, He did this so that all peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. All the peoples of the earth. And so that you might always fear, revere, or fear the Lord your God. This memorial was not just for Israel. It was for all nations around Israel and for us today to proclaim God's power. You see, the miracles of God, even today, are signs. They point to God. The miracles of God are not the end in themselves. They always point to God, and they declare that the God of heavens, Yahweh, is the God who is in charge. He's supreme over everything, over every demon, over the devil, over everything. In the journey of Israel, the promised land, if you remember the second sermon that we preached, when the spies went to Rahab's lodge, she told them, "We have heard about your God. We have heard how He dried up the Red Sea. We have heard how He conquered those Amorites, those great gods in there. And all of us in Jericho, we are all in faith. Every man is afraid of you." Those miracles were telling everybody that the sheriff is in town. He has come. And all other wannabes cannot compare. Because the Canaanites had many gods. They had gods for fertility. They had gods for war, for everything. And these gods never fulfilled on their promises. And that is why when Rahab heard about the works of God, what did she do? She abandoned these enslaving gods and chose to trust in Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. Her and her family were saved. Memorials are signs that point to the mighty acts of God to declare that the God that we serve, He is supreme over every god, over every throne, over every dominion, and you can trust Him as your true Savior. And this shows us the heart of God. The heart of God has always been salvation of all mankind. Israel was chosen to be the vehicle to bring the Savior. But God's heart has always been for the salvation of all people. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, we see the Great Commission where Jesus commands His disciples. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Teach them to obey everything. Baptize all who believe in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be with you. That is His heart. This memorial foreshadowed the heart of God. His heart has always been salvation for mankind. And so God was not just showing off that I'm powerful. No, He was saying, and powerful to save you. Those gods actually are enslaving you. Abandon them and trust me as your true savior. And everyone who puts their faith in this God is saved. So, what do we see? What do we learn from this? These memorials, they help us to share God's story. They point to the God who has the power to save all. In the day when this miracle took place, the nations believed in many gods. They believed in many idols. And it's very easy for us in our day to think we are not idolatrous at all. Say, I don't bow to anything. I think I'm okay. I'm agnostic. I just don't want to believe anything. But let me tell you, friends, idolatry is so alive today. Every day we worship something. We are bowing down to something. Every day. Because that's how God made us. We were created to worship. Some of you worship money. It's all about how much money you make. Some people, it's power. Some people, it's materialism. It's always about the next thing. You just want it. You do everything to get the next. You have to be trending. Some, it's pleasure. You can't wait for Friday. The weekend. All these are gods that are asking for our attention. And you and I know that these things, you never get enough of them. They are gods that do not satisfy. They leave us empty. They promise so much, they leave us empty. They enslave us. But there is a God in heaven who loves you so much and understood that you are broken, that you cannot save yourself. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, who came and died a death that you and I deserve, because as sinners we deserve to die. So that you and I can be reconciled and become children of God. He's the only one who can truly satisfy us. Surrender your heart to Jesus today, to this God. Receive his mercy, grace, and forgiveness. That is his heart for you. Would you please bow your heads and close your eyes across this place? God, you're gracious, you're merciful, you're true. Your heart, even through this message, this memorial, is about you saving people. It's about people who are far from you being reconciled, coming back to you, our true God. And being made whole again. God, forgive us. Because we have pursued ways that actually have led us into emptiness. Today we acknowledge that we are broken, we are idolatrous, but we choose to turn away and turn back to you. You are the true author of life. You are the giver of life itself. And when we turn to you in repentance, God, you breathe new life in us. God, I pray today those who feel broken, who feel far from you, God, may they turn to you today. Our true God, our true Savior. My brother, my sister in this place, online, on air, if that is you saying, Pastor Eddie, pray for me today, I would like to turn to God today. I acknowledge that I'm broken. I acknowledge that I can't save myself. I need God's grace, His mercy. I'm empty. I need God. I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to make a courageous action. Just to say, here I am, Pastor Eddie, pray for me. Today, I want to turn to God. Maybe you, once were a believer, you turned away, but today you want to turn back to faith. Hey, you're welcome. If that is you, I would like you to raise your hand. If you're online, there's a link that is showing up. Click it. Fill out your details. We'd love to get in touch with you. If in this place, you just lift up your hand. Let me pray for you wherever you are in this place. You say, today, I want to surrender my heart to Jesus. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. God bless you. Raise your hand. I know you're here. Online, click that link. On air, write to us. Connect at whatotochurch.com. Lift up your hand. Let me pray for you. Upstairs, turn to God because He cares for you. He loves you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand upstairs. In 10 seconds, I'm going to be praying. If you're still there, raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Take courage. Turn to God because He loves you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Now, Father, thank you so much for my friends who are taking that courage and saying, I am here and I'm turning to you. Lord, I pray you breathe new life in them. Because the reason you came, God, is to save that which was lost. And today, I celebrate all those in this building, online and on air, who are turning to you as a true God and Savior. In Jesus' name I do pray. And everybody say the big amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@whatotochurch.com. Hey,